The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday, and not just any Tuesday. Today is Special Election Day in Alabama. Oh, it's all come down to today, and I don't want to get your hopes up too high because there are some crazy people in Alabama. I've been watching the news on and off all morning, hearing just average people going to the polling places, being interviewed, talking about their Christian values, really is nauseating. So while I'm going to keep a good thought and hope that common sense wins out, that the people of Alabama would rather elect a law-abiding, good man in Doug Jones over a really batshit crazy guy who most likely is a pedophile, or at least was. I think once you've done it, you are. I have to hold out hope that it's going to go the right way, and put faith in the better people of Alabama, right? Today's been a weird day. Donald Trump woke up early and got on the Twitter, as he does. There's a great op-ed in the New York Times by Zephyr Teachout. Zephyr Teachout is a law professor at Fordham University, and she ran for Congress. She should have won. Unfortunately, she didn't in 2016. But she has an op-ed in the New York Times, "I'm Not Convinced Franken Should Quit." And I agree with her. I'll post the link to it on the blog today, along with the show where I podcasted it, NicoleSandler.com. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but she says zero tolerance should go hand in hand with two other things, due process and proportionality. As citizens, we need a way to make sense of accusations that does not depend only on what we read or see in the news or in social media. Due process means a fair, full investigation with a chance for the accused to respond. And proportionality means that while all forms of inappropriate sexual behavior should be addressed, the response should be based on the nature of the transgressions. It is a very good op-ed, so I'll post the link to it so you could read it. But what I believe the Democrats did in calling for Al Franken's resignation was to put themselves above reproach, to say, we're taking the high ground here. We're going to have a zero tolerance attitude. If you are accused of any kind of sexual harassment or assault in any form or shape, then, we're going to believe your accusers. I've already let my thoughts be known on the Al Franken thing. I think he was set up. I think the first allegation was a setup, and I think other women piled on. His last accuser was nonsense. A woman named Tina Dupuy said basically they were taking a picture and he grabbed onto her waist. Well, when you put your arm around someone when you're taking a picture, that's pretty much what you do. Did he grab a handful of her? You know, she was upset that she had gained 20 pounds recently because she had quit smoking. And I guess she had a roll of flab hanging over her pants. Well, gee, then maybe she shouldn't have gotten in so close to him to take a picture. All right. I know that probably came out wrong. But I just think there's a line to be drawn, and touching your waist when you're in close to take a picture is not the line. Anyway, I digress. That wasn't what I meant to go off on. But one of the people leading the charge against Al Franken, one of the first to call for his resignation, was Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who on some things I really like and on other things I am not her biggest fan. I mean, if you heard the show on Thursday, you heard Howie Klein talking a bit about her background, where when she was in the House of Representatives, or I should say before, when she was running for the House, her House seat in upstate New York, she presented herself as a progressive. Once she got into the House, she showed herself, she joined the Blue Dogs. So there's a bit of hypocrisy when it comes to Kirsten Gillibrand. Now, many say that she is angling for a run for the presidency in 2020, in which case she's putting herself out there. And you know what? I'm glad that she's standing up to Trump, because I think we all need to stand up to him and not normalize him and hold him accountable for all of the awful things he's done. Well, the day began with Trump going after Gillibrand, who, again, I believe at the time there were four or five Democrats who had called for Trump's resignation, she being the only woman. Now, he didn't say a word about any of the men who called for his resignation, but he tweeted, "Lightweight Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a total flunky for Chuck Schumer, and someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them, is now in the ring fighting against Trump, very disloyal to Bill and crooked, used." I don't know what that means, the very disloyal to Bill and crooked, used. I have no idea. But he's alleging that she would do anything for a campaign contribution? Seriously? So a number of people have fought back, and this is what I saw on Twitter most of the day. Kirsten Gillibrand she tweeted back, "You cannot silence me or the millions of women who've gotten off the sidelines to speak out about the unfitness and shame you have brought to the Oval Office." Good for her. And in fact, she was asked about it at a short press conference.
Were you offended by the apparent insinuations in the president's tweets this morning?
It was a sexist smear attempting to silence my voice. And I will not be silenced on this issue. Neither will the women who stood up to the president yesterday, and neither will the millions of women who have been marching since the Women's March to stand up against policies they do not agree with.
And if you'll permit me a follow-up, do you see this as sexual harassment by tweet?
I see it as a sexist smear. I mean, that's what it is. And it's part of the president's effort at name-calling, and it's not going to silence me. It's intended to silence me. It's not going to silence the women who have stood up against him directly. And it's not going to silence the millions of women out there who have been speaking out every day since his inauguration about things they disagree with.
So good for her, right? I'm glad to hear her standing up and speaking out. Elizabeth Warren got into it, too. And what she tweeted was, to Donald Trump, she replied to him. She said, "Are you really trying to bully, intimidate, and slut-shame Senator Gillibrand? Do you know who you're picking a fight with? Good luck with that, Trump." Nevertheless, hashtag she persisted. Of course, some on the right are calling out Elizabeth Warren for using the term slut-shame. You just can't make this stuff up. That this is what we're spending our time on today. And we will. I've got tons of tweets on it. I'm sure Laffy does as well. So we'll save that to when Laffy gets here. In fact, let me find out who's on the phone first. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is George calling from Coarse Gold, California.
Hi, from what part of California?
Coarse Gold. It's in the western Sierra Nevada mountains.
Ah, okay. What can I do for you today?
Well, this whole thing with Senator Gillibrand, who I admire for, I think she was, her big issue was the military assault on people mm-hmm. in the military and everything. But the other day when she came out with all the rest of the Democratic senators, female senators, and said Al Franken should go, there was a picture taken with them with that blonde from Fox News that got the like $30 million payout from Roger Ailes or something.
What, Gretchen Carlson?
She was with them.
Gretchen Carlson
was standing there with them. Now, and then we got the Leanne Tweeden, the other right-wing media person. Why are the Democrats hanging out with these people?
I don't know. Gretchen Carlson, I think, is trying to put herself, you know, above the Fox thing because now she's out of there. I know I didn't see it, but she was on Fox this afternoon with Katie Turr because now this is her her issue, I guess. But the Leanne Tweeden thing, I think, was just a setup. I think she was coached by Sean Hannity and Roger Stone on what she was going to say and how they were going to bring down Al Franken. I think it was a setup to bring down Al Franken.
Well, I just end this with two words for any man taking a picture with a woman.
Yeah.
Jazz hands. Keep your hands visible.
You got that right. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right.
Bye.
Oh, bye. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break. We'll check in with what's news because there's a lot going on. And then we'll bring Laffy on and we'll continue the conversation. So much to talk about today on the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tuesday is Election Day in Alabama, where voters go to the polls to elect a senator to fill the seat vacated by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Barack Obama and Joe Biden recorded last-minute robocalls for the Democrat, Doug Jones, and the president recorded one for Roy Moore.
Roy Moore is the guy we need to pass our Make America Great Again agenda.
Trump recorded a robocall for the embattled Moore, whose campaign has been marked by accusations of sexual misconduct. In an interview on local TV, the 70-year-old conservative Christian and former state judge again dismissed the allegations against him, insisting it's all politically motivated.
I do not know them. I had no encounter with them. I never molested anyone.
Several women have accused Moore of pursuing them when they were teenagers and he was in his 30s. The allegations have prompted several Republicans to withhold their support of Moore, including Alabama's senior senator Richard Shelby.
This is the man! This is the man!
Democrat Doug Jones is hoping to beat Moore. If he wins, he'll become the first Democrat elected to the Senate from Alabama in 25 years.
This is an election to tell the world who we are and what we stand for.
Moore, who is facing several allegations of sexual misconduct with teenage girls, including an alleged sexual encounter with a 14-year-old girl when he was 32, sat for his first interview in weeks with Millie March, a 12-year-old girl, in an interview arranged by the America First Project PAC.
Are you going to support President Trump and help him build the wall?
Yes, I think we need something, and I think it could be stopped sooner than that with the military. I think the military could be used down with the Border Patrol and actually stop immigration, or not immigration, it's not illegal immigration. It's illegal aliens coming across the border, which is illegal. It's not legal immigration. And I think that could be stopped in a relatively short time. And if we need to stop it permanently, we build the wall. And I think it would be not an inexpensive way to do it.
Then, at an Election Eve rally, Kayla Moore, the wife of Roy Moore, declared that she and her husband are not anti-Semitic.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew. We have very close friends that are Jewish and rabbis, and we also fellowship with them.
Can't make this stuff up. Three women who've accused Donald Trump of sexual harassment and assault held a press conference Monday and called for action from Congress.
With sexual harassment allegations stirring a national reckoning, three of President Trump's accusers joined together today, saying the man in the Oval Office should also be held accountable.
I ask that Congress put aside their party affiliations and investigate Mr. Trump's history of sexual misconduct.
At least 15 women have come forward with accusations ranging from sexual harassment and misconduct to sexual assault, including unwanted kissing and groping. All of the alleged incidents took place before Mr. Trump won the White House. On the campaign trail and since, he has denied the allegations.
The events never happened, never. All of these liars will be sued after the election.
He never followed through on that threat of legal action, But today at the White House, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders responded like this.
The president has addressed these accusations directly and denied all of these allegations. And this took place long before he was elected to be president. And the people of this country had a decisive election, supported President Trump. And we feel like these allegations have been answered through that process.
Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who is one of the most high-profile women in the Trump administration, said the president's accusers have a right to be heard.
They should be heard and they should be dealt with. And I think we heard from them prior to the election. And I think any woman who has felt violated or felt mistreated in any way, they have every right to speak up.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand telling CNN's Christiane Amanpour that Congress should investigate the president's behavior and hold him accountable.
President Trump should resign. These allegations are credible. They are numerous. I've heard these women's testimony, and many of them are heartbreaking.
A federal judge in Washington state ruled the president's transgender military ban unconstitutional Monday night, finding that Trump's ban violates equal protection and due process rights. Earlier Monday, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the Trump administration was exploring legal ways to enact the ban, despite reports the Pentagon is already preparing to accept transgender troops. PolitiFact is out with its lie of the year, Trump's insistence that allegations of Russian election interference are a hoax.
This Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
Early Tuesday morning, Trump repeated that same lie in a tweet that also claimed the stories of women who say he sexually harassed them were fabricated, too. I got the news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, now heard Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, and we, well, she scours the Twitters for her tweet spot, and we talk about what's going on in the world. So, hello?
Yes, you've reached the touchy-feely Trump hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump will defend calling one of his sexual assault survivors the C word by saying, hey, because it was only four letters long, it was the only insult I could remember. Derp. Press 2 if you think Trump will defend his groping so many women as experience he needed to prepare for future presidential outreach programs.
Yeah, that's it.
Press 3 if, after hearing Huckabee's response to Trump's accusers saying the president has firsthand knowledge of what he did and didn't do, you started wondering which hand. Have a nice day. It's been rumored, by the way, that one of Moore's horse's groomers is a Jew.
Oh, no.
A Jew.
A Jew. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
A Jew. Oh my God. That was so blatantly, awkwardly, tritely bigoted. I don't know what else to say.
Wait,
it was just so typically trite.
Let's hear it again.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews.
Jews.
Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
Is a Jew.
Is a Jew. And I love how she kind of did the little mocking smirk toward the press. You know, the audience all applauded.
Yes.
Just despicable. Just so unbelievably despicable. These people, you know, I was watching, you know, all the many nighttime news shows that I catch up on every night. And all I could think of watching Bannon, Trump, this more wifely thing, more his horse, everything is truly the villains are out there and they're getting support. I mean, these are really, truly, honestly bad people, bad, toxic, terrible people who do bad things to other people who aren't bad. And people are voting for them with glee and with fervor. And, you know, God is telling you to vote for God's candidate and all these things that are scary as hell. And I'm hoping somehow we vote and stop them. I don't know how else to do it. The courts are stacked.
The courts are stacked, and they're getting more so by the day. And the gerrymandering and the voter suppression tactics, I don't know if you've been following Greg Palast, but he
a little, yes.
Right? So he had a story yesterday that there was a ruling in Alabama that all the ballots had to be preserved. So in case there was an audit or a recount, the ballots were there.
And these were, are digital, just so everyone knows.
Right.
These are screens.
So the images would be saved of all the votes cast. And then within a couple of hours, the Republicans came in and said, oh, no, you don't. And they got it reversed so that they can destroy them like right after the votes are cast and allegedly counted. They're done. So there's no chance for an audit of the vote.
And I just saw a tweet go by. I wish I'd saved it. Where a voter there and somebody, I think he's a journalist who writes about everything, but he said that he's voting there. And this is a common occurrence that I'm going to tell you about, but there's policemen that hang out and start arresting people who are, I guess, who they would consider unsavory or I don't know.
They're showing up looking for people with outstanding warrants at the polling places.
That's what it is. That's what,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It went by so fast.
I
read it really fast and then it was gone and I had trouble remembering it. But that is it. Yes.
Yeah.
And that is just, I mean,
to try to keep people from voting. Not only that, people who are inactive on the voter rolls went to vote and found themselves purged. Again, this is why every week, it seems, we talk about this, even though the November election is, you know, a good 11 months off. You got to do it. Make sure you're registered. Make sure, even if you think you are, double check and make sure your registration is valid. Make sure you have the proper ID. It may take you close to a year to get everything in place that you need to be able to vote next November. But it is that important.
And it costs money to do that.
Yes, it does.
And that's why it's considered voter suppression when they try to put through, or they do put through, voter ID laws. Because, well, first of all, they closed all the DMVs in Alabama.
In the black areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But backtracking, yes, you have to spend money if you don't have your birth certificate or some sort of proof of birth or something available to you. It takes time and effort and money and transportation to get all of these things that are required, which is why it's a form of voter suppression to ask for that kind of voter ID. Now, if the governments would provide free and accessible, easily accessible voter ID to everybody, like they do at schools where you have a school ID, you know, where it's just sent to you, then there wouldn't be a problem asking for voter ID.
But
have no objection to it at all.
But, you know, those college-educated elites, they tend to vote more Democratic than Republican. And so in states that pull this voter suppression shit on you, a college ID will not do the trick at the polls. You need a state-issued driver's license or ID.
But in some places, isn't your gun license or whatever?
Yes,
it is,
like Texas, you can't use a college ID, but you can use your gun registration, your gun license, whatever you need to have a gun.
Yeah,
permit.
Anyway, well, let's get into TweetSpot because you and I both have a ton.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
All right, well, Twitter was a buzz today with all the stuff on Gillibrand and Trump's just horrifically offensive tweet this morning.
Oh, God. It was so unbelievable. It was like, are you just trying to be that obnoxious and that obviously, I don't even have a word for it. He should be arrested for that tweet. But first of all, I want to make a point. I tweeted this before we get into the Gillibrand tweets.
Okay.
I tweeted these two tweets. Dear MSNBC, please stop playing clips of racist Steve Bannon. It's a replay of how you gave Trump excessive airtime in 2016, and it's not helping. And then everybody jumped on that, and then I, in a good way. And then I followed with, I have to re-up this, and I tweeted over that tweet, news outlets must stop elevating Bannon the way they did Trump. Look where it got us. This is insane.
Mm-hmm.
They are showing clips over and over and over of Steve Bannon being as nasty and underhanded and horrible and bigoted as he could be, over and over, while as he's leading these little rallies because his candidate is too scared to get up in front of a crowd, and the networks keep running it, and so we're exposed and normalizing Steve Bannon as a campaigner,
right, as a personality. Right.
Yeah, and as a possible candidate himself, because he's hinted that he wants to do that. So they're doing exactly what they did with Trump, because he's such an oddity and so toxic and horrible that, of course, they want to show that. But at the same time, they are showing it so much that they're giving him free publicity. So we're starting the cycle all over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, even, you know, when Trump did his thing down in Pensacola, when was it, Friday night? Of course it was, because then he got to come down to South Florida for a weekend again after that. They did the same thing, whether it was CNN or MSNBC. They had the empty podium on the side window while they were talking, waiting for him to come on. I don't remember which one I had on for a few minutes. At least they had Trump talking. They weren't carrying the audio, but you could see him speaking with his face all contorted while he was rambling his nonsense while they went about their business. But they had to show him on a split screen? Really?
Totally unnecessary. I'll give them credit for not carrying it live.
Right.
At least MSNBC didn't. But like you said, they had the little square there. So
yes.
Anywho.
By the way, also, before you get into it, David came in and corrected me. I screwed up when I was talking to our caller earlier. What's her name? Gretchen Carlson was up on Capitol Hill because she is helping. I don't know. They introduced legislation for sexual assault, I think, in Congress, and she was somehow involved in that, and that's why she had her picture. And it was MSNBC that Gretchen Carlson was on this afternoon with Katie Tour, not Fox. I never watch Fox, so I couldn't even tell you what channel it is.
She's been on MSNBC a few times, actually. To address what the caller said about why are the Democrats getting up there with Republicans, you know, or people like Gretchen Carlson standing side by side?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they're trying to get as many allies as possible against all this, and it's understandable. But they don't need to prove the point by saying, look, you know, Republicans do it too, so we're cool. No, we have truth and justice on our side. We don't have to prove it by saying Republicans support it too. It's good that they do, and it's fine that they interview them. I have nothing against that, actually. But we don't have to always give ourselves more credibility because Republicans may agree with us on something.
Exactly. Okay.
So, poopy on that.
With that.
All right. So I'm going to start with today's, because I actually got rid of a couple because you covered them.
Okay.
But here's Michelle Jawando, who is vice president of Why Courts Matter. She says, just so everyone is on the same page, Donald Trump just insinuated that Senator Gillibrand has sex for campaign donations. I want everyone to be 100% clear about what the president just said about a U.S. senator. This is workplace harassment.
Yes, it is.
It is. And somebody brought that up on some show, and it was sort of brushed aside. It is workplace harassment. They are working in the government, and they are, you know, co-equal branches, and he is harassing her. And he's doing that as an official statement from the account of the president of the United States.
And he's alleging, I mean, by saying, well, let's get the exact quote here. Again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, that she would do anything for campaign contributions. I mean, what he's alleging, sex. I don't know if you heard this. The Jim Acosta of CNN was warned by Sarah Sanders not to shout out anything at the pool spray.
Yeah, I have that up. It's one of my tweets. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll save this for when you get to it, because I do have the audio. But, you know.
Oh, good. You do. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay.
Okay. So keep going.
Okay. So Ramona Grigg of RamonasVoices.com, she also contributes at Crooks and Liars and a few other places. She said the leadership of both parties better not ignore this. And she was saying this right under my tweet about Donald Trump's that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
The president of the United States just suggested a sitting female senator has given sexual favors, is just what you were saying, in order to get her way. If this doesn't start a groundswell to force him to resign, we've lost any sense of decency.
Well, we have lost any sense of decency.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. We lost it the minute Trump started running for president, mm-hmm. and people accepted that. It's disgusting. Okay, Joan McCarter of Daily Kos, she says, okay, so she's responding to a Frank Thorpe tweet. He tweeted, Murkowski asked about Trump's tweet about Gillibrand, quote, and this is a Murkowski quote, I don't want to get in the middle of the president's tweets with a capital T for tweets. We've got so much going on, and this is what everybody is distracted by. And so Joan McCarter says, way to be a stand-up senator, Lisa Murkowski. You're really demonstrating your principles here. I'm sure your colleagues will remember this one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that. Well, I'm sure they will. That's the sad thing. They'll remember it in a good way, because they forgive him anything. Just like they're forgiving Roy Moore of pedophilia.
The minute he gets into the Senate, and I have a feeling he will, all that stuff about, well, we're going to send it to the Ethics Committee. As soon as he's a voice for them, as soon as he gives them votes, they won't do anything to pressure him.
Nope.
They'll hold their noses like they did with Trump, and they will support him.
Yep.
To follow up, Frank Thorpe tweeted, asked about Trump's tweet, Ray Gillibrand. Bob Corker says he hasn't seen it. Quote, reporter offers to show it to him. Did I lose some of this tweet? Oh, and Corker says, I don't know that I want to show you to show it to me. I can't respond if I don't know anything about it. To which Joan McCarter tweeted, another brave Republican. Way to go, Bob Corker. You're really distinguishing yourself here.
Yeah, way to put yourself out there on the line. Way to take a stand.
Exactly.
Hey.
And
Bob
that,
Corker,
it's
not like, you know, it's not like he's going to be around or hasn't said anything against Trump before.
Right. It's I don't know. I don't understand, especially if you're not coming back to Congress, then go ahead and say something.
Yeah,
do something.
Exactly.
Zach Shubb, who's just a guy who doesn't really have a bio. He said, let's all take a moment to note the day the president of the United States answered sexual harassment charges by sexually harassing a member of the Senate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he did. He sexually harassed a member of the Senate, and that's how he responded. I mean, this is so mind-boggling and scary that nothing is being done about this, that the Republicans are sitting on their fat asses doing nothing because they want to get a tax scam in there, and then they want to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's the reason they're putting up with all this.
Well,
it's expedience.
Yes. Well, Topher Spiro, or Spiro, I think he's of Center for American Progress, tweeted out, Sanders, Merkley, Booker, Gillibrand, Wyden, and Hirono have called on Trump to resign. McConnell, Collins, and Murkowski, who called on Franken to resign, have not. Isn't it fair to ask them why not?
Exactly right. And if you notice, Trump only attacked the woman.
Yes.
Who was saying, let's investigate this, let's ask him for his resignation. There were two men who called for the same thing, and he hasn't said a word about that.
Exactly. Well, now it's the number's higher. Not only it's up to, I don't know, like
100.
Eight or nine. Well, there's 100 who are saying we need an investigation.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that group that I just read who have called for his resignation, which, of course, will never happen, nor will an investigation. This should go to the Ethics Committee. As David just handed me a note, he said, indecency is not bribery, treason, or high crimes and misdemeanors. So it's, you know, as disgusting as it is, it's not an impeachable offense.
Oh, no, I know. It's just venting, you know.
Yes, I
when
know.
I say something like, why aren't they doing something? Why aren't they throwing them in jail? You know, I
know.
If I were to get serious about it, of course not. But it shows his unfitness. It shows they could impeach him for it doesn't have to be high crimes and misdemeanors. It's a political thing. I saw a whole discussion, actually a couple of discussions about this. So technically they can bring him up on anything that makes him seem unfit to them, but they won't.
Right. Well, Jackie Speier, Congresswoman from California, tweeted, "This is so grotesque. It takes my breath away. At POTUS has lost all sense of propriety and decorum. And once again, he has shown his conduct is unbefitting the office of the president, and the 25th Amendment should be invoked."
Yep, there you go. Maybe it's the 25th we should, but that takes the vice president and the cabinet members.
Exactly.
So it's not going to happen unless, unless Pence decides he wants the presidency so badly that he's willing to pressure people. But he's in deep doo-doo with the Mueller investigation, too. So I'm not sure where that would go. Okay, so I'm on to another topic now.
All right, let me give you one more before you go on from Brian Beutler. Brian Beutler of Crooked Media Now, he tweeted, "Trump's message is that while accountable people are resigning from or being pushed out of office for abusive behavior, he can sexually harass a senator in front of the whole world and nothing will happen to him. He alone has impunity."
There you go. That is exactly right.
Yep.
He's been really getting some good tweets out there. I like his stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so the unsilent majority, this is just a self-proclaimed, he says, thought leader and writer. He's at the silentmajority.com contributor. He says, "Want to know why real Donald Trump is quiet about the attack today?" And he's talking about
the attack yesterday in New York.
The terrorist attack.
Right. The subway thing.
He says, because even he knows people will quickly tie this together. And then he has a little hand pointing downward, pointing at this. 2 weeks ago, he tweeted 3 anti-Muslim videos. Mm-hmm. 1 week ago, he announced Jerusalem decision. Today, a pipe bomb made last week explodes in New York City. So, you know, he's accusing all kinds of people of doing things, but he initiates tweets. He comes out with inflammatory comments, inflammatory policies, and then he wonders, why are we getting attacked? It's for our freedom. No, it's because you're an idiot.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, he's going to get us into a major war. He's going to make something happen. Somebody said something about, you know, he was bringing on the apocalypse. And this is the kind of shit that he's apparently wanting to do. I don't know, to divert attention from the Russia investigation.
I don't know. Maybe it's that, or maybe he's still trying to hang on to the evangelical voters because, you know, he doesn't believe in the rapture.
Right.
You know, he doesn't believe in anything. So he's doing this to get somebody's approval,
I guess.
That's all I can think of. Anyway, John
Mike
Dingell
Pence.
Tweeted yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, and I love John Dingell's tweets. He's so good. He said, "I fully support Donald Trump's interests in space travel to Mars, and I wish him the absolute best in his travels."
You know, that's a good one. And that I happened to see a little bit of his announcement of here you go.
"The directive I'm signing today will refocus America's space program on human exploration and discovery. It marks an important step in returning American astronauts to the moon
astronauts.
For the first time since 1972 for long-term exploration and use. This time, we will not only plant our flag and leave our footprint, we will establish a foundation for an eventual mission to Mars and perhaps someday to many worlds beyond."
Aside from the fact that he slurs everything, you got to wonder what the hell he's taking. You know, we don't have money for anything. We can't extend the children's health insurance program, which is something we can also talk about, which is just mind blowing. But we're going to Mars? Really?
Yes. We have all that money to waste. Well, it's not a waste, but, you know, to spend. Well, John Dingell followed up his own tweet with "Make Mars Great Again," so maybe that he wants to make a new hat. Who knows? Anyway, Jay Rosen. Here we go with the thing we wanted to talk about. So he's responding to Paul Fari, who is with the Washington Post. His tweet says, "Acosta in pool note says," in this a press pool, "says he was warned by press secretary, quote, prior to the pool spray, Sarah Sanders warned me that if I asked a question of POTUS, quote, I can't promise you will be allowed into a pool spray again. To which Jay Rosen, who writes about journalism, said, mm-hmm. Now the White House is claiming the right to, quote, edit the press corps,
that's
removing
right.
troublesome members from certain roles.
So there was a pool spray after Trump signed the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, which I didn't even realize he was signing today.
Yeah, I didn't
and
either.
Jim Acosta was, I guess, the pool reporter in the room. And sure mm-hmm. enough, as Trump is leaving the room, Jim Acosta called out.
President, what did you mean when you said that Kirsten Gillibrand would do anything for a campaign contribution?
Everybody.
And of course, he didn't answer. Nobody answered. But he got the question out there.
Yeah, no, he's good at that. And that's what they don't like. And they're doing everything they can to limit a free press, as you know. And of course, we know this because Trump is constantly berating them and insulting and saying that Fox is the only place to go and, you know, constantly promoting Fox's shows and books. And then, of course, just totally just bashing CNN. And, you know, MSNBC will be next. But this is just a sort of step by step initiating of getting rid of the press, of getting
yes.
rid of a free press.
Well, he responded. There was a big article in the New York Times over the weekend about, you know, what Trump does all day. And it said that he watches 8 hours of television a day. And it said that he usually starts out the day watching CNN to get some news. And then,
I want to stop you there. I was going to catch that quote.
Oh,
to get some news.
To get some news.
He sits there and tells everybody how horrible CNN is and don't believe a thing they say. But he starts out the day by watching them to get some news.
Yep. Well, then he denied that, though. I guess it was today or since then. He denied it. And he said, I don't watch CNN or MSNBC. They're both fake news. I only watch Fox. He said something to that effect.
But he's
a liar. Everything out of his mouth is a lie.
They had 60 sources for this or something.
Oh,
it was some crazy amount of sources. I happen to believe the sources. I don't believe a thing that comes out of Trump's mouth. I don't really believe a thing that comes out of his little gang's mouth either. But I think when they're telling the press some things, I think they slip out with the truth. So
mm-hmm.
I'm prepared to believe that. Okay, so here are the tweets from yesterday. All right, so the AP tweeted, Pentagon says it will allow transgender people to enlist in the military beginning January 1st, despite Trump's opposition. And Will Bunch replied, yeah, what a coup.
Yeah.
I love Will Bunch.
He's a good guy.
Robert McGuire, he's with Open Secrets DC. He said, pro-Trumper super PAC sets Roy Moore up to be interviewed by a 12-year-old girl.
Some things are just beyond comprehension. I had that in What's News. The whole thing is astounding. And I just put the first question is the clip that I put into What's News. And you could hear the way he's talking to this girl. It just made my blood curl.
Oh, I missed some of that because when I switch over to Skype, it cuts out a big chunk of what you're playing. So I don't think I heard that, and I didn't get to see it online.
Oh,
what did
there.
He do?
Nothing. He was the question was she asked about should there be a border wall, and just the way he talks to her is. You know what? I don't have it handy here, or I'd play you a clip. Man, it would take me a while to pull it up. It was just creepy. The fact that he, you know, hadn't done any interviews in weeks with anybody. And the first interview he does is with a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's just in your face creepy. It's just people when that went around the internet, people were asking if it was real, if it was maybe a setup,
the Onion.
The Onion or something. Yeah, but nope. It was real. That's just so I figured, you know, he probably took her in his cabin in the woods to do the interview. So Mark Harris, who is an author and journalist, he said, whatever happens on Tuesday, the president of the United States endorsed a child molester who thinks gay people should be imprisoned over a man who prosecuted Klansmen who killed children. And the RNC went right along with him. That's forever. I've been tweeting all day today that the Republicans own this. They have been supporting Moore. They have been supporting Trump to get their damned agenda across, you know, and to whatever suits them. They'll exploit anything as long as it ends up being self-serving. And this is on them forever. And I really hope we stick it to them for a very long time.
I keep hearing on TV questions being asked, is it worse for the Republicans if Roy Moore wins or if he's defeated?
I keep hearing that too.
And I'm sorry. Having Roy Moore, being there in the Senate as a Republican is pretty bad for them. It's worse for us.
Absolutely.
Let me just put it that way.
I hate that question. I've heard it every day, all day. Every show has the
every
same
show.
Question.
Yep.
And they also ask everybody to speculate about who's going to win, which nobody can do. So shut up.
Right. Now we're playing fortune teller?
They do that every election. It is such a pointless exercise. It fills time and it makes them talk. So, the thing about who's it worse for? Oh, it's worse. It's a lose-lose for
right.
the Republicans.
It's lose-lose, right. No, it's
really
lose-lose
isn't.
For us, for the American people.
Yes, there you go. That's exactly right. So Amanda Carpenter, she's a conservative on CNN. She says, if GOP is on record saying they would investigate accusations against Moore, how can they decline to investigate accusations against Trump?
Good question.
And David Corn says, easy answer, hypocrisy.
Yep.
It all boils down to that.
It does.
If we were to sit and talk to these people privately, any of these Republicans, any of them who were supporting whoever, and it was off the political map. If we were just talking to them, they didn't know who we were. We didn't know who they were. I can't imagine they would say the same things that they are in public. I just can't.
I don't know. I don't know what makes these people tick. I really don't get it.
Digby.
Yes, we know Digby.
We love Digby. She was talking about Huckabee's, and she said, God, she's awful. The office of White House press secretary has been permanently degraded by her presence.
You know, yesterday's was particularly offensive, and we mentioned Jim Acosta before. I've got a clip that runs almost 4 minutes, so I'm not going to play it, but it was going back and forth over fake news. And
yes, that was amazing.
It was pretty incredible.
You want to play it?
Well, sure. Okay. So
we don't have to do all these tweets.
Right.
Okay.
So this was during yesterday's White House press briefing. The first question is not Jim Acosta. You'll hear he comes in second to follow up on what was being asked. And then you'll see she won't let him finish asking the question that he wanted to ask in the first place. Here we go.
Quite angrily over the weekend to a Washington Post reporter's tweet about crowd size that was quickly deleted. I'm wondering if you can help explain the discrepancy between the president's reaction to incidents like this, which he calls fake news, and talks quite a bit about, and his silence on actual disinformation campaigns like Russia ran during the 2016 election to deliberately spread false information. So both his silence on that, and does he recognize the difference between these two?
Difference. Look, the president simply calling out a very direct and false accusation lodged against him. There was nothing more than an individual trying to put their bias into their reporting, and something that, frankly, has gotten a little bit out of control. We've seen it time and time again over the last couple of weeks. A number of outlets have had to retract and change and rewrite and make editor's notes to a number of different stories, some of them with major impacts, including moving markets. This is a big problem, and we think it's something that should be taken seriously. Jim?
Reporters' mistakes and disinformation campaign by a foreign government. Does he see a distinction there?
I haven't spoken with him about that, but certainly we would take any misinformation like that very seriously.
Sure.
But it's not something we're comparing the two on.
And I would just say, Sarah, that journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news.
Journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes. And a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposefully misleading the American people, something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say... You cannot say that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false, or when you're taking information that hasn't been validated, that hasn't been offered any credibility, and that has been continually denied by a number of people, including people with direct knowledge of an instance. This is something that... I'm speaking about the number of reports that have taken place over the last couple of weeks. I'm simply stating that there should be a certain level of responsibility in that process.
This was not, Brian,
I called on Jim.
This is not the line of questioning that I was going down, but can you cite a specific story that you say is intentionally false, that was intentionally put out there to mislead the American people?
Sure. The ABC report by Brian Ross, I think that was pretty misleading to the American people. And I think that it's very telling that that individual had to be suspended because of that reporting. I think that shows that the network took it seriously and recognized that it was a problem.
But it wasn't intentional.
I was going to ask a question about something
else.
Well,
you used it on something else.
Sarah,
Jim?
Sarah,
if I may.
Sarah,
not yet. We're going to keep moving, guys.
If I can ask about the president's accusations.
I'm moving to a different Jim. I'm sorry.
I know, but I didn't get a chance to ask the question that I wanted to ask, which is,
Jim,
can you just say once and for all whether these
Jim, I'm going to say once and for all that I'm moving on to Jim Stinson, and I'm not taking another question from you at this point.
Sarah, a question about investment.
All right, and it goes like that, and she doesn't let him get his other question out. I mean, he asks it, but she won't answer it. In fact, the other question was, I'm sorry I cut it off now, because the question that she would not answer is, are you saying that that the events that his accusers are accusing him of never happened? And she wouldn't answer.
No, she evades every one of those direct questions by saying the president's already said everything he has to say about it and we're done here.
That's right.
So, by the way, just got a breaking news thing that Chuck Grassley is urging the White House to rethink two controversial judicial nominees.
Really?
Yep.
The two that maybe were judged unfit by the American Bar Association, perhaps?
I'm guessing. It was just all I got was the headline, you know, because it's a breaking news thing. So I don't know, but that was a little tiny ray of sunshine. Any whoosies. So Jennifer Epstein from Bloomberg said, quote, "You cannot say it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information you know is false," press secretary says, pointing to something that no one does.
And that was just what was in that clip that we just played. She said it to say that, you know, there have been two or three stories in just the last week that they've had to do retractions on. But the fact that these news organizations with no prompting did retractions, right, and they suspended Brian Ross at ABC, it just shows that they are being responsible. They're saying, wait a minute, we made a mistake here, and it was egregious enough that we're going to do something about it. CNN had one with Manu Raju just the other day. I don't even recall what it was about, but they corrected it immediately. They're not purposely putting out information they know is false. That's what the White House does. That's what Fox does.
Exactly going to say that. They're the ones who put out fake news. They're the ones that lie on a regular basis, and they're just projecting onto the news media what they do. So it's typical. Anyhow, okay, so Trayvon Free, apparently of the Samantha Bee and Daily shows, said press secretary on Trump accusers, quote, "This took place long before he was president. Well, now that's settled," to which LOL GOP, our buddy, said, "So did Obama's birth."
Yeah, I was hearing some of the defenders of Roy Moore talking about how back 40 years ago when, back then, girls were getting married at 13 and 14 here in Alabama. 40 years ago was 1977. It was not the Middle Ages. It was not the Dark Ages. That's the year I graduated from high school. Oh, my God, 40
right?
years ago.
I'm not even going to go there. No, I'm not going to go there. But yeah, I know. They talk about things like they're so long ago that it's like, back in Abraham Lincoln's day. No, it was in the 70s.
It was 1977, was 40 years ago. Don't tell me the girls, this old guy. My grandmother, she got married at 13 and had two kids by the time she was 15. Well, you know, I'm sorry for your life. But I'm sorry, that was not normal 40 years ago.
And not only that, when they keep saying, oh, it's ancient history, that doesn't make it any more legal.
Nope.
If you committed a crime umpty billion years ago, but you're still alive, you're still a criminal. And if, you know, just because you didn't get arrested for it, or just because you didn't get somehow punished for it, it doesn't mean it's any less credible
but,
or any less real.
You know, where it does is there's a statute of limitations. And
right,
although,
right,
I'm sorry, child sexual assault, pedophilia, there should be no statute of limitations on that, just like there isn't on murder. But I guess he can't be prosecuted for these things unless there's proof that he's done it more recently.
But it still doesn't make it
good, make it right.
You know, like acceptable, exactly. Even if it's not prosecutable. All right. So Elise Foley of the Huffington Post said Donald Trump led a years-long misinformation campaign to say the country's first black president was secretly not a U.S. citizen. But sure, yeah, lecture us all about making mistakes that are then corrected.
Right.
Trump tweeted about very little discussion of all the purposely false and defamatory stories put out this week by the fake news media. They are out of control. Correct reporting means nothing to them.
Aye.
Major lies written, then forced to be withdrawn after they are exposed. A stain on America. Ah! So Stephanie Rule replied, Dear Donald Trump, should we include in this discussion the fake anti-Muslim videos you tweeted about 2 weeks ago?
Hello.
They conveniently forget about that stuff. AKA Donald Trump, an anti-Trump account, he tweeted in big caps, breaking false news from White House. Sarah Sanders, Dems blocked Trump's travel ban. They are to blame for today's Times Square attack. Bomber has been in this country for 18 years. Bomber is from Bangladesh, a country not on a travel ban list.
Yeah.
Everything she says is, and blames the Democrats for, is completely wrong.
Yes.
They
make shit up and claim it's fact, and they talk nonsense about things that are fact and say they're not real.
Exactly. Nancy Lee Grahn, who's an actress on General Hospital,
said,
you know what I want from Dem senators? A big, dramatic, organized, unapologetic temper tantrum. I want you to be mean, angry, and unyielding. And you know what? I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Except I wish they would be less rehearsed and more real.
I think that's what she's getting at.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she's saying just get out there, show how you're feeling. Don't hold back. Allow your anger to come through. You know, like today, I think it was Chuck Schumer who said, it was unbecoming of the president to say what he did about Gillibrand. He also said nasty or something, but unbecoming?
Really?
You know, unbecoming is like if you wear your hat the wrong way. but if you're saying Senator Gillibrand sold herself to get somewhere, no, that's not unbecoming. That's slanderous.
Right.
That's terrible.
Yes.
Our buddy Trumantown.
Yes, it's Trumantown in the chat room today. He's usually in the NicoleSandler.com chat room. I don't see him today.
Sing in action today. Well, he tweeted out, Trump is dreaming of a white race Christmas.
Good one, Truman.
That was a good one. And finally, Todd Lapp, who is a writer at Todd Lapp, said more hopes Alabama weather dips into the teens.
Uh-huh. Ba-dum-boom. Yes.
Had to end with that one because that was good. I'm generally just beside myself. How are you feeling? I don't know which story to be angry at. And to answer somebody in the chat room, yes, I am safe from the wildfires. Everybody's been asking me that, and every day I have to say it, and I'll say it again. And I really appreciate your asking. Our house is about a good 30 to 45 minutes away on a fast freeway from any fires.
The fire moved in the other direction from you. It could have easily moved towards you, but it moved north, right?
It moved north. And then the Beverly Hills not the Beverly Hills, but up in by
Skirball, the one in Bel Air.
Yeah. That one is east of us. And there's another one south of us. We're surrounded by them. We can see the smoke, but we're in a very safe area in terms of fires, our house. We have about 5 minutes from us is not a safe area.
Right.
If that caught on fire, they'd be in really bad trouble, but our house probably would still be okay because we've had fires right near our house in fire areas, but our houses are built like with roofs that won't catch on fire.
Good to know. It's scary. Yeah. It's scary stuff going on out there.
It is scary. And if a spark flew over, I'd be very worried. But we seem to be fine. All the winds blew the smoke away from us. I was thrilled with that. And we had decent air quality, temperatures in the mid 80s. And
not too bad.
No. And I took pictures of the smoke and put them out on Twitter from far away. And day before yesterday, we drove through the Skirball fire area, and I sent a picture out. It's just blackened. It's just terrible.
Oh, so horrible. Well, my best thoughts go out to everyone. I used to drive that stretch of the 405 every day, so that's terrifying. Let me leave you, because we're just about out of time, with one last tweet from Cliff Schechter, who wrote,
"Oh, good.
I'd be remiss if I didn't extend a happy Hanukkah to both Kayla Moore and her attorney." Hanukkah begins tonight. So, happy Hanukkah.
Happy
Hanukkah. From your Jews. Thanks, Laffy. Talk to you later.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.